In Ecclesiastes chapter 4 is where we will be. Okay, so there is heaven and there is earth. There's eternal life and there's temporary life. There's the soul, there's the body. There's meaning and purpose, and there's vanity and emptiness. If you want purpose and meaning, you have to look beyond earth to heavenly things. You have to look beyond temporary life to eternal life. You have to look beyond your body to your soul. Take care of your soul. Pursue those things that last. Pursue God in Christ. And when you bring God into your life, it changes how you see earth. There's purpose. But the purpose isn't in earth. That's what Ecclesiastes has been saying. The purpose is something that God puts on earth. The purpose comes from outside earth. But earth itself is vanity. But then in chapter 3, Solomon said, there's a time for every purpose under heaven. That was verse 1. And then in verse 11, he says, God makes everything beautiful in its time. And he has then considered situations that might make you think, what do you mean God makes everything beautiful in its time? So chapter 3, verse 16, he says, I'm in the wrong place. Give me a second here. He says, moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. So I saw under the sun injustice. That's what he's saying. And that makes you question, well, what do you mean everything is beautiful in its time? And now he's saying, look at this. And then last week, that was 2 weeks ago, we talked about injustice. Last week, we talked about death. And he says, what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beasts is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. And he says, death comes to everybody. And you say, well, what is this? Everything is beautiful in its time stuff. What is this, you know, there's purpose. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. Okay, let's look in chapter 4 because he's going to continue this line of thinking of, well, what about this? So for chapter 4, verse 1, I'm going to actually read the entire chapter, but we're not going to focus on the entire chapter. Again, I saw all the oppressions that are done under the sun, and behold, the tears of the oppressed, and they had no one to comfort them. On the side of their oppressors, there was power, and there was no one to comfort them. And I thought the dead, who are already dead, more fortunate than the living, who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not been and has not seen the evil deeds that are done under the sun. Then I saw all the toil and all skill in work come from a man's envy of his neighbor. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. The fool folds his hands and eats his own flesh. Better is a handful of quietness than two hands full of toil and a striving after wind. Again I saw vanity under the sun. one person who has no other, either son or brother. Yet there's no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, "For whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure?" This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. For he went from prison to the throne, though in his own kingdom he had been born poor. I saw all the living who move about under the sun, along with that youth who was to stand in the king's place. There was no end of all the people, all of whom he led. Yet those who come later will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and a striving after wind. Okay, in the text, if you've got a Bible, if you're on a phone, I guess you can't do this, but if you've got a Bible, you can circle things. But circle, I saw in verse 1. He says, again, I saw. And then in verse 4, and then I saw this. And then in verse 7, again, I saw something else. And then in verse 15, I saw. And those situations are things that, the things that he saw, are things that make you question. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. And everything is beautiful in its time. And you say, oh yeah? Well, what about injustice? That's chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. What about death? That's what we covered last week. Chapter 3, verses 18 to 22. Chapter 4, 1, 2, 3. What about oppression? What about that? Verses chapter 4, 4 through 6. What about doing your work solely out of envy? What about loneliness? That's verses 7 through 12. What about the shortness of popularity? That, you know, that king who everyone forgot in the end. Verses 13 through 16. How can there be a time for those things? That's kind of that's what Solomon is doing here. But there is a time for those things. And so we talked about injustice 2 weeks ago. We talked about death last week. Oppression, verses 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to throw under injustice. They're very similar. They're, you know, where there's injustice, there's oppression. And so I'm not even going to talk about that today. We're going to, because we dealt with that a couple weeks ago. And we've already said much about work. And so we're going to pass over the part about work. And we're going to focus on verses 7 through 12, being alone. But what I want you to see is the big picture of what Solomon's doing here in the book. He has this thesis that there's a time for every purpose under heaven. And then he's saying, well, I saw this, and I saw this, and I saw this, and I saw this, and I saw this. All things that make you think there's no purpose. And yet there is. I want you to see that big picture before we focus in on verses 7 through 12. So let's focus in now on verses 7 through 12. I'm going to read them again. He says again, I saw vanity under the sun, one person who has no other, either son or brother. Yet there is no end to all his toil, and his eyes are never satisfied with riches, so that he never asks, For whom am I toiling and depriving myself of pleasure? This also is vanity and an unhappy business. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so Solomon is talking about being alone. Verse 8, he starts and talks about someone who has no one else. No son, no brother, and he's working. And he's working and working. Who's he working for? And that's the question that he asks. And he says, this is vanity. It's emptiness. And then he says, verse 9, two are better than one, which is getting at the same idea from the other end. That's also getting at being alone, only he's saying it's better not to be. Now, this is a biblical concept. In Genesis, when God made the man, before there was a woman, he said, you guys know what he said. What did he say? It is not good for the man to be alone. And so he made woman, so that the man would not be alone. We are to reflect on God. We are to reflect God. And God is not alone. If you think about the Trinity, God, in his own very nature, is a community. From eternity in the past, he's always been that way. And we're to reflect him. And so God did not make you to be alone. Now, I'm actually not talking necessarily about marriage here. We use this passage, two are better than one, at weddings all the time. And it's not inappropriate to do that. I mean, marriage does reflect this principle. It really does. And, you know, God made the woman for man so that he wouldn't be alone. And so it's not that it's inappropriate. It's just because it can refer to marriage. But it can also refer to situations other than marriage. In the Bible, marriage is a good thing. In the Bible, singleness is also a good thing. And so it's not like marriage is superior to singleness in any way. God has different life situations for different people. And that's okay. But what this is saying is, if I could put it this way, community is better than no community. Something like that. Marriage, you kind of have a built-in sort of community, kind of. But God made you and me to be together. Two are better than one. That's how Solomon puts it. And then Solomon goes on and he gives you three reasons why. And they're all in successive verses. So, verse 10, here's the first reason. If you fall, you have someone to help you. You know, Leanne broke her wrist 2 weeks ago. So I picked her up at work and took her to the doctor's appointment. And we've been to a couple of doctor's appointments. And picked up the car back at the school later. And around the house do a lot of things that she would usually do, that she can't do right now. This is normal. You know, when one falls, the other can help them. And it's gone the other way, you know. When I've had COVID, she did that kind of stuff for me. And so it goes both directions. When there are two, there's help. That's his first reason why two are better than one. Here's his second reason. Verse 11. Two help keep each other warm. Now, this is not referring only to marriage. In Solomon's day, when people traveled and they had to sleep outdoors in the cold, they would sleep together because it helps you stay warm. Travelers did this. Soldiers did this all the time. This is like the norm for a soldier sleeping outdoors, having to sleep outdoors, you know, when it's cold outside. And each soldier has his blanket, and if you lie on the ground back to back and put two blankets over the top of both of you, keeps you a lot warmer than if you lie by yourself with one blanket. And so this was a common thing. And so this is talking not just about marriage. This is talking more broadly just about, you know, having someone to help you in that case to stay warm. His third reason, verse 12. Two can overcome greater difficulty. He says, and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And so...
three sounds even better.
That's right. That's right. And so the idea is the community helps you stand against difficulty. That's the idea. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he sent them out by twos. He didn't send them out by themselves. And Jesus founded a church, not like a bunch of individual things, but a church. When there is a community, when there's more than one, one can encourage the other. Where one is weak, the other can be strong. We all have strengths and weaknesses. And we need each other because we have weaknesses. But I have weaknesses that maybe Ethan has a strength in. And he can be strong where I am weak. And vice versa, I can be strong where he is weak. And so you see this in marriage. You see this in the church, the body of Christ, with different members who do different things. You need that. That's an important thing. Now, these are three reasons Solomon gives, verse 10, verse 11, verse 12, for why two are better than one. Those are the reasons he gives. And he then says, loneliness in life, being alone, is vanity. And loneliness is a real thing. You know, I think perhaps the place where we see loneliness the most is with the elderly. Because the elderly, you know, they lived their life and they had their family, and they're now older and they're often by themselves. And especially as they get older and older and all their brothers and sisters die, and, you know, who's left? And I think perhaps we should pay more attention to the elderly and be two for them, so to speak, so they're not by themselves. Be there for them more than we do. But loneliness is not just for the elderly. You can be in a crowd of people and be alone. You can be in a marriage and be alone. I've seen both of those situations in people. And so this is not just about being around people. Just because you're around people does not mean you have a community. This is about having a real community. This is about having people who love you and care for you. This is about having people who genuinely want to help you. Now, part of this can be your family. That's partly why God made the woman for the man. He made her because it wasn't good for him to be alone, and he made her to be a helper for him. And so that's part of it. That can be part of it. But for the Christian, this is the church. This is what the church is. God has created you to be together with God's people, not just by yourself. If you try to live the Christian life by yourself, it isn't going to work real well. You need God's people to live the Christian life. And God's people need you to help them to live the Christian life. And so God made the church on purpose for that reason. The church is to worship God together. Sometimes people say to me, I don't really need to go to church to worship God. And technically, that's actually true. I mean, I worship God at times when I'm not at church. And so I don't need the church to worship God necessarily, but God didn't make you just to worship. He made you to worship together. And the one thing you cannot do without the church is worship God together. You can't worship God together when you're by yourself. There's nothing wrong with worshiping God by yourself. It's just that he made you to worship God together. And you actually got to have other people to do that. The church is to serve God together. In the church, we are family. That's, you know, the Bible talks about church members as brothers and sisters, right? That's family language, brothers and sisters. That's what we are. We're brothers and sisters. And sometimes the church is, they're your brothers and sisters more than your blood brothers and sisters who don't know the Lord. If you've got relatives who do not know God, there's a real sense in which the church is much more your brother and sister, the people in the church, than your blood brothers and sisters are. That's a real thing. And so, if my brother stumbles and falls, I'm to help him back up. This is how it works in the church. If my brother sins, I'm to restore him as much as is in my power. If my brother grows cold in his relationship with Jesus, I'm to come alongside him and help him to be hot in his relationship with Jesus. My brother can't handle a difficulty. I'm to hold his hand and help him walk through the difficulty. If my brother is in need, I'm to provide help. If my brother hurts, I'm to bring healing. If my brother is discouraged, I'm to encourage him. If my brother needs prayer, I'm to pray. And everything that I said that I am to do for my brother is to do for me too. Because it goes both ways. In Christ, you have a family. Do not abandon it. Hold on to that family. Over the years, God's people have been a great blessing to Leanne and me. They've helped us in so many ways. They've helped us in material ways, you know, finances, cars. We've had two different people give us cars. And a third person who didn't give us a car but sold it to us for like half of what it was really worth. Because, and this is a quote, he said, I think we'd just like to keep this car in the family. That's how he put it. And he's not a blood, he's a brother. He's a Christian brother. He's not a blood relative, but he wanted to keep it in the family. And so he sold it to us for like $5,000 instead of $11,000, which is what it was worth. And, you know, we've had them put in a new kitchen. And they've done these things in times of unemployment. When we were really struggling financially, they've encouraged us when we were down. There's a brother that I meet regularly with who hears all my frustrations. And he just encourages me to keep on. That's every time, you know, he'll ask, so how are you feeling today? You know, and we'll say, hey, I'm good this week. And so, but I'm not always good every week. And he encourages me he's just been a blessing to do that. God's people have been another set of eyes for us to help us walk through hard decisions that we had to make in a way that honors Christ. And so I remember we bought this house, and shortly after we closed, we found out it had foundation issues, and didn't know that when we bought it, but we found out about it later. And then had to, okay, how do I do this? Do I sue? Do I, you know, this guy's a brother, I think. As best I understand, the seller's a Christian, and I'm not supposed to go to court against Christians. And I just, you know, I needed another, I came to this brother and I said, I need someone to look at this situation who's not me in a biblical way. Someone who will look at it from a biblical perspective, but who's not me. And he was that other set of eyes who could do that for me. God's people have celebrated with us through weddings, through the birth of our kids, through graduations, through baptisms, through seeing God's hand move in many ways. God's people have comforted us through the deaths of parents, the divorce of loved ones, things we've had to walk through in life. We've had times of joy, we've had times of tears. And God's people have been there through all those times. The good and the bad. They've been there. God wants that for you. He made you for that. He wants you to have local brothers and sisters who are in your life. You will walk with Jesus better with them than you will without them. Without them, over time, you'll fall away. You need them, and they need you. And so, now this idea, two are better than one. That idea is really not an American idea. If you think of what America values independence, freedom. And, you know, there's something to be said for freedom. But in America, one is better than two. That's how America thinks very often. And in many ways, some of your cultures are better than America in this respect, because your cultures are more communal. And that's a good thing. But you know what? Much of the world wants to follow America. And America exports, there are some good things we export, some good ideas, and there are some not so good ideas that we export. And this is one of those not so good ideas. This is the downside of freedom and independence. Because there is a downside to it. Two are better than one. A body of believers is better than you by yourself. So, you want to walk with Christ? Wherever you go, find a church that honors Christ, that honors the Bible. Plug into it. Get to know the people. Let the people get to know you. Live life together. Be a brother or a sister to the people that are in that community. Let them be a brother or a sister for you. Because in the end, you need real, face-to-face brothers and sisters in your life. And they need you. So I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you to think for a moment of maybe one step you can take in your life to be either a brother or a sister to someone else who's here, or to let them be a brother or a sister to you. And so I'm going to give you just a minute to think about that, and then we're going to pray in just a second.